The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Way back there.
Kyle Busch having trouble.
Kyle Busch way off the racetrack, way slow.
Sounds like something's broken.
I have a left front tire flat.
If something's broken.
Right, still covered.
Got big damage there.
Right left here, last one's clear.
Left front tire is definitely
flat
down.
Last year, left front flat, play bar. Sure it'll be gone when I get there.
And you hear the disgust in his voice. This could do it. This could eliminate the defending Cup Series champion.
Welcome to episode 175 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. How's it going, James?
Eric, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. Better than Kyle Busch?
Yeah. KFB is OUT, hey?
Yeah, he is.
We got beat.
He is.
Kyle Busch, probably the biggest story of the weekend, is out of the playoffs. I don't think it's a surprise, but I think it is a surprise too. Yeah. You know, I mean,
in the big picture, it's a surprise, but the way the season has gone and really his last season and a half, to be honest, I mean, since June of 2019, he's been out to lunch pretty much, minus one very important win.
Yeah. But, it's crazy. Completely crazy. Yeah. And, he talked with the media after the race. Short interview. He was pretty good other than he snipped at Bianchi a little bit over one of the questions that he was asked.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I heard about that one.
But otherwise he was pretty candid and, made the comment that he's, has to wonder whether it's him, whether it's the team, what it is. Obviously something's happened that he was as, I don't know if you could say dominant, but he was performing as well as he was and suddenly isn't. They haven't had a terrible season, but it hasn't been great. And obviously hasn't been good enough.
Yeah. And we should mention, we always do this, but Chase Elliott won his fourth consecutive road course race.
I was going to get there.
I think the biggest story.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're starting with Kyle.
Well, I don't think it, I think Kyle's a bigger story than Chase.
Oh yeah. Kyle's
unless Chase wins the championship as a result of this, but
well, sure. Yeah. But for right now,
Chase was moving on anyway.
We're going to have somebody new in the final four. Yes. Kyle Busch has been there since 2015, every year. I mean, he's been in that championship race and he's not now. And I think in some ways, Kyle's probably got to be a little, he's obviously disappointed. But this season, he's got to be a little bit relieved to, at some extent this drudgery is over a little bit because it's just been, every week that pressure's been on him to make this next round. And I guess you cut off the head,
right?
it's over.
I mean, Kyle wanted to get to the next round, but I think the more important thing for him is getting a race win this year is he's got the streak going with that. He's got four races left to do it. James, what do you think? I mean, you got Harvick and Hamlin have been as good as they are. He's got to beat them.
He's going to have to elevate his game for guys who are elevating their game every week.
Right.
And he just, I don't know if he's going to do it. But Eric, you brought it up. So off the top of my head, I did and then I backed it up with some research and there may be some more here, but can you name the last two drivers to not win a race defending their championship season?
Oh my God. It's been a really long time.
It's been a long time. And it's an even longer time in between the last time it happened and the time before that. Can you think of it?
Did Kubica win in his season?
No, Kubica passed away. So you got one.
Right.
Kubica passed away in a shortened season. So 1992 was the last time.
Okay, so hint, is the other one's before 92?
It's, yes, I'll give you another hint. It's a long time before 1992. You're going to hear it and you're going to be like, oh yeah.
David Pearson.
But no, it's not David Pearson. It's actually Ned Jarrett.
Interesting.
Yeah, he did. He partially retired.
That's so, right. Yeah. I remember that now. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the first two in my mind. I was thinking about this, and I went and backed it up on Racing Reference, and there may be others further back, but I didn't feel like digging that far back. But
interesting stat. That's a good stat.
Yeah, and Kyle Busch is going to run a full season, unlike those two guys, and Allen's tragically passing away, but But yeah, Kyle Busch is going to run a full season trying to get a win, and he's not going to do it. It's going to be the first time since then.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I thought that I was like, man, that is something. That is a heck of a list to be on.
You know, it's kind of amazing that it hasn't happened more frequently. I mean, I guess really, I mean, honestly, if you look at the championship, I think I'd say it's easier. Man, is it easier to it's easier to luck into one now, right? I mean,
well,
I don't think we've seen anybody luck into one, James.
Johnson lucked into one.
I guess Jimmy and maybe Kyle last year too. Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, you still got to get in the final four, but you can luck into one easier now than you could before because you're not going to get lucky and be consistent all year long.
Yeah, and we should note too, luck's always a part of these.
Well,
things.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta have some luck.
Yeah.
But I think Johnson has had the most luck to get to seven.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That seventh title was not his.
And don't get us wrong, we've already declared on this show many times that Jimmy's
the
GOAT. He's still the best there is.
Seven titles or not, I think he's the best. But yeah, you do need luck in every one of these circumstances for sure. I mean, you think about every championship run. I think one of the more disappointing championship runs that I can remember was Tony Stewart in 06. He didn't make the playoffs the following season. Brad Keselowski, I think he missed the playoffs in 2013 after his title run too. Those are some pretty disappointing ones. But Tony got really angry in 2006 and he ripped off like four wins or something like that.
Right.
So he got into the winner's circle. But Kyle, this is tough. It's a tough stretch. And Eric, I wanted to ask you too, when Stevens left him out there, when they pulled the Richard Petty call, I mean, it was over, right?
As soon as
I saw him stay out, I was like, oh, he's done.
That was it. And then they waited through the next caution and stayed out still. At that point, when you saw what it did on the first restart, why wouldn't you come back in? I know the race was almost over, but they ended up pitting. So why? I don't know. That was bad strategy.
I was texting my brother-in-law has been actually listening to the podcast and getting into racing a little bit. But I was texting with him back and forth, and he's trying to learn it a little bit. And I texted him right away and said, "Oh, Kyle just lost his race right there. I mean, it's over, done."
Yep.
I was shocked that Stevens made that call. I couldn't believe it.
It doesn't matter. He wasn't winning that race anyway.
No, but I mean,
no way was he beating Chase Elliott.
I mean, at least give Kyle Busch fresh tires to give him a shot.
Especially when the first couple cars come in. The first couple cars, because Kyle wasn't leading, right? Was he leading? Okay.
He was leading. Yeah.
I don't know.
And he, I mean, gosh, it reminds me of Hamlin at Homestead last year. You took it out of the driver's hands.
Yep.
Give the driver, I don't know.
It wasn't a secret that tires made a difference.
Yeah, you got to have tires.
But then again, James, if Kyle pits, does anybody else pit?
I understand that you're sitting duck in first place, but I feel like the fuel situation as it was, I mean, those guys needed, I know those guys, there's a lot of guys who needed to pit there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, give Kyle the tools to make it happen.
Right.
I mean, we saw guys drive through the field. Chase Elliott drove. I mean, he's the best road course racer in the game right now.
Well, let's talk about Chase Elliott. All right.
Yeah, let's move on. So Kyle's out. We're moving on.
So last year, to cut off the Kyle, the conversation, but we got to talk about Chase Elliott before we forget to do it. So this guy, first of all, won this race last year after wrecking and coming back through the field.
Yeah, he did.
He was declared done. He wasn't going to win this race, and he ended up winning it last year. And then this year has the tire issue.
Has to give it away.
Yeah, has to pit. Everybody counted him out again. Why? I mean, he came right through the field again. And once again, had the fastest car on the track. What in the world is it with Chase Elliott on road courses, man? Nobody can touch him.
Yeah, I feel like it's part. I mean, obviously the driver, he's got a knack for it. I don't know why. His background doesn't suggest that he would be a great road course racer.
No, I never predicted him to be an awesome road course racer.
Something with the way Gustafson's maybe got that car set up too, where it's just, I mean, everything might be just right. But again,
Alex Bowman said this
week that road courses are.
Bowman said if you put him in Chase's car, that he's not going to do anything what Chase is doing.
Well, and we should note too, bringing up Bowman's a great point because Bowman ran really well.
Yep.
Had a great, you know, great chance at it. Byron was there late. All, you know, those 300 guys, apologies to Jimmy Johnson. He's not in their class anymore. But those 300 guys were, you know, sniffing around the front.
Well, remember,
Byron led 27 laps too.
Byron was on his way to winning this race last year, except they went with point strategy instead of winning the race strategy.
If you're Hendrick Motorsports, you got to be looking at that schedule next year and licking your chops.
Oh yeah,
with the six road course races. I mean, golly, Chase Elliott's going to lock himself into the playoffs guaranteed with one of those road course races.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's great. And, you know, I think the program, I think it's a combination of things. I think the program's there. I think that's a big piece of it, but the biggest piece is Chase. I mean, Chase, say what you want about him. I've had my doubts about Chase coming up, but this dude's figured it out, and he's a great race car driver regardless, but whatever he's got going on at these road course races, he's figured it out, man. He's in Jeff Gordon's class. I put him in Tony Stewart's class. I mean, you can't deny him. He's four straight and, you know, didn't even have any opportunities this year other than the Daytona Roval, which is not even coming back. It was just a throw in and he won that dang thing too. So, I mean, yeah,
Chase is the one keeping Hendrick Motorsports relevant right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, which is the role he needs to play. I mean, he's playing the role he's supposed to have, but he's keeping them relevant. He is able to win on ovals as well. And you know, he's had a good year.
Yeah. Every team's got a lead dog and he's their lead dog. He is. And you know, he's, you know, Joe Gibbs is Denny Hamlin or, you know, Stuart Haas is Kevin Harvick. I mean, Chase is that guy for that team.
Yep.
And he's getting it done. He's giving himself a chance and he was going to probably make it anyway, win or not. But he's giving himself a chance to race for a championship at Phoenix. And you gotta think he's probably a long shot still, but you know, to have a better shot than what you had before, is good. I mean, he made the round of eight, so, fantastic.
Right. James, we got to see history this weekend.
Yeah.
First time ever Cup Series race run in sort of the rain. I guess let's talk Cup Series first.
And, because we got to talk that Xfinity race.
Oh, but we're going to talk about that Xfinity race for sure. What'd you think of the rain at the Roval?
You know, I like let's compare a little bit Sunday to Saturday.
Okay.
I liked what I saw on Sunday much better than what I saw on Saturday, and we'll get into that.
I knew you were going to have that opinion.
But you know what I liked about though, Eric, is that first stage. I almost wish the whole race kind of would have played out a little bit that way. I loved seeing Ty Dillon throw the slicks on and then run through the field like he did. That was fantastic.
I was hoping for some rain at the end, not heavy rain, but enough rain to make them have to question whether to put rain tires back on because I love that strategy of that in between. We've seen it in the Xfinity series before too. And just whoever can get on the slicks quicker and not wreck on the slicks is going to have the advantage. And I love that. I absolutely love that questionable strategy. Yeah. This is the thing I like about IndyCar because they have the option tire. This is what I wanted to see in NASCAR when they tried the option tire that didn't work at the All-Star race. It gives that different tire strategy, and I love it. And I wish we had it more, but it was perfect. Absolutely perfect at the beginning of the race. Like you said, I wish it would have played out at the end too. But
it was really I love the strategy part of NASCAR, and I love that these crew chiefs were like banging their heads against the wall trying to figure out what to do.
Right.
You know, I think what happened on Saturday was that was not racing in the rain. I don't know what that was, but that was hydroplaning maybe.
Before we get to Saturday, let's just point out the fact that I've been waiting for this for years. The last time they tested rain tires in NASCAR was what, 2000, I think they showed on the graphic. That was the last time we had rain tires in the Cup Series.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for this and dreaming for this. But the thing is we've only really had one opportunity for it every year, and that's Watkins Glen, because it's just not going to rain at Sonoma.
It's not going to rain at Sonoma.
I mean, if it is going to rain in Sonoma, it's going to rain when the Cup Series is there, because that's what happens. But when you want it to rain in the Cup Series, it's not going to.
Was Todd working at Sonoma next year?
Right. Yeah.
It'll rain.
but that being said, with this new schedule, we've got, you know, the Road America race very likely could have rain.
Indy, yep.
Indy could very likely have rain, and we could, I mean, you never know about Austin, probably not. But
yeah, probably not COTA, no.
You never know. So, I mean, we've got more opportunities for rain now, so this is something that these guys are going to have to figure out.
And what I liked about Sunday too, Eric, it was a It was a strategy. It was a wrench in the strategy game.
Right.
But it wasn't a hindrance to it. Like, it wasn't a complete, you know, bleep show.
Well,
you know,
did you didn't
it
see.
It was a legit race. It was a legit race, and there was a lot of strategy involved, and, you know, you got to see the major players still, you know, racing for meaningful, I mean, very meaningful race. I mean, it's an elimination race for the playoffs. So we like the wild card aspect of the Roval. This just added to that a little bit more, which I liked.
Yeah, you didn't see really the field get upended or anything. About the biggest change you saw was Ty Dillon running up front. But if you remember correctly, once it dried, he was still running up front for a while. So that wasn't a fluke because of the rain. That was because he was running well.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that you still had the main players up front. It wasn't ridiculous. I think if you're going to have the first race in the rain in the Cup Series, this is the one to do it.
It was good, yeah.
The first race that we ran in the rain in the Xfinity Series was at Montreal, and it was not as bad as Saturday, but it was pretty heavy rain when they did it. So,
this was
a lot better way of dipping your toe into the rain racing than just full blown downpour. But let's talk about Saturday, because let's put it this way: I completely understand, 100% understand the people that hated it. The reason I think it didn't work wasn't because of the rain. It's because they didn't have drainage figured out on this track, because this track isn't a purpose-built road course. And we had buildup of water because of the amount of rain that we got and the drainage that set up on these points of the course, like the loop on the front stretch and whatever. That being said, James, we don't get this all the time. It's not like this happens every week. It can only happen a couple times a year anyway, and even then it doesn't happen every year. I freaking loved it. I thought it was great. I don't care that it was a bleep show. I love the fact that it was a bleep show. I love the fact that you didn't know who was going to come out of the next turn. And there was a lot of cautions, and it was a little ridiculous. And the end of the race was better when it wasn't as bad. And the darkness at the end was a little rough, too. But but they figured that out for Sunday if they needed to. I don't know. I loved it. If this happened every week, I would hate it. But because it happened once and probably won't ever happen again, I thought it was awesome.
Well, for doing it in the Xfinity Series, I'm all for it. Because,
right.
I mean, because
I was disappointed they stopped. I wanted to see him keep bulldozing through the water and shooting water over the front of the car because there was so much water on the front stretch.
I couldn't take my eyes off it for a little bit.
Exactly.
It was only because I couldn't believe we were doing it. I'm like, man, these guys are, NASCAR is really going to get this thing in hell or high water. They are going to get this race in high water.
Man,
for
kudos
sure
to NASCAR, too. We had a red flag on Saturday. But that was it. We got both races on their scheduled days with rain both days, James.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of rain, too. Lot of rain. A lot. And, Eric, I don't know about you. I think the coolest part about Saturday that I actually – and I didn't love the race, but it was like a car crash. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was super interesting. But watching the cars go through the high banks with the hydroplaning going on and the rooster tails behind the cars – was just incredible. We've never seen that before.
Well, and the visuals were terrible. It was hard to see the cars because the cameras were so wet. And I'll tell you what, I turned on the IMSA race later in the evening, and that was even worse because you had headlights coming at you with the rain on the cameras.
Right.
I shut that off because I couldn't even tell what was going on. But it was the visuals were great. Dylan Barr, I think that's his name, NASCAR photographer, has some killer photos. Said he was miserable on Saturday in the rain, but he said he had way more fun on Saturday than he did on Sunday. It was neat. It was a cool thing to see. And you know what, James? As big of a bleep show as it was, who won the race? Chase Briscoe. The guy who you kind of expected to be one of the major players at the end of the race.
Well, yeah, it's – yeah. I mean,
so it's not like it really screwed anything up. He still won.
Right. Right. Well, didn't he – hold on a second. Because I recall, didn't he lose it late? Hold on just a second.
He had trouble.
One moment. didn't AJ Allmendinger win the Xfinity race?
You're right. AJ Allmendinger did win the Xfinity race. Never mind. So
the right guy did win.
Never mind. I'm not cutting any of that out either.
I was like, hold on. Eric's throwing me.
I'm not cutting any of that out anyway. So we're going to leave it all in there because I'm an idiot. But you're right. AJ Allmendinger won. But still, the guy who was supposed to win the race won the race.
Oh, Chase Briscoe was right there, right?
Yeah, you're right.
No, your argument stands. Your argument stands. You made the right point.
The main players were still up front, other than Austin Cindric, who just kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, but I watching Briscoe navigate the heartburn turn, and he basically drove through a pond.
Yeah.
And then spun out on the other side, was just, I mean, good Lord.
Well, how about Noah Gregson?
How many times did Gregson wreck? And they had that whole thing. Oh yeah. Man, that was good.
Yeah, Gregson had another one of his great weekends.
Stepped on my ding dong there.
And he does it on a dry track and a wet track. So,
did you hear what he said about Riley? He said, "I'll worry about drivers getting into me if they can actually win races or something like that." Nice. That made me laugh.
That's funny. I like Riley's response where he didn't say he didn't do it, but then just laughed it off. And
yeah, well, I mean, after what happened to Texas, I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
If he did what he did, I mean, I know it was an accident, but whatever.
It's funny how quiet you got when I was wrong there, James. I want to point it out.
You broke my brain.
I started to think like. Did James get disconnected? Like, what happened? He's like really quiet.
Broke my brain because I was like, wait a second. Why do I not recall Chase Briscoe winning that race?
Folks, this is why we don't talk about the Xfinity series, because I have the results of the Cup race up right in front of me. I didn't pull up the results for the Xfinity race because, you know, that would have been a smart thing to do.
Listen, man, this is not a professional production.
No.
Nobody is going to judge anybody on this bad boy.
Right.
Don't worry.
I mean,
I screw up every single week. So
only like seven people listen anyway, so it's not like it's a big deal.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, seven people.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. What else with this race weekend? Is there anything else really to talk about with it?
Timmy Hill, I thought was cool, getting a fifth place in the first stage. And
yeah.
And he ended up finishing last anyway, but super cool.
Right.
Gosh, man. I think we'll talk. We'll eventually talk points here in a minute. But yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else
that really
stuck out to me. I mean, yeah. There was a lot of
Ryan Newman spun so many times in this race.
Oh yeah, lots of cars getting stuck in the grass.
And then Michael McDowell, I almost picked him for fantasy, and for some reason pulled him out at the last minute. And thank goodness, because 32nd for him.
Yeah, he's always pretty decent at the road courses, but yeah, he didn't have a chance.
How about Clint Bowyer?
Yeah, no
power steering for the end of that race. And gets out of the car just exhausted, ended up having to go to the care center after the race. And, I mean, I'll tell you what, like, there's no reason Clint Bowyer needed to finish that race. He wasn't going to get the points to win it. He wasn't going to win the race. He wasn't going to get the points to get through. He could have just pulled in. But, man, that shows the drive that he's got, that he stayed in that sucker and finished the race.
He finished 10th. I mean, he had a chance. I mean, that place is pretty crazy. So, if
you're
you
never
there,
know. And if rain comes, too, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. So kudos to him. He drove a heck of a race. Hamlin was in the grass a bunch, I saw.
Yeah.
He had a wild day.
Yes, he did.
Spinning around, hitting the wall, and he was all over the place.
Hamlin seems to be in that position where he's either winning or just looks like a fool. I don't know what his deal is this season, but
yeah.
I have a feeling that the second Hamlin is going to be the one we see at Phoenix. He's going to blow another championship. So
we've got four races where Hamlin's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Oh yeah.
If they're zeroed in here. Kevin Harvick finished 11th and missed out on a record I really wanted to see, the 30 top 10 finishes.
Yeah.
Not going to get it, so that stinks, but that's okay. That's okay, too. He's got bigger fish to fry.
Eric Jones finishes third. Another strong performance for him.
So hard.
Sounds like he's got something set for next year. Just has to sign a couple things and to announce it. So it looks like we're going to know what's going on with Eric Jones soon. And
I respected how hard he drove Kyle Busch. Like,
yeah.
So what? You're not really my teammate anymore after this season.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Fire him? So he loses four races.
What are you going to do? Kick me out for four races?
Right.
Do me.
Yep.
Yeah, he drove a heck of a race.
Yeah, the only thing better would have been if you turned him.
Right.
You know?
It would have been interesting.
I mean, that's what Brian Vickers did. I mean, so.
Vickers. Which yeah, Vickers had a few.
Junior still hates Vickers over that whole deal.
Oh my gosh, a lot of guys don't like Vickers over certain things.
That's true.
Yeah, that was Vickers wiped out the entire the entire contingent. But yeah, that was that was a good run by Jones, and I was super impressed by Bowman. I had him on my lineup for fantasy because he's just run really good there, and another great day and big week for him. So. Steve Letarte ticked me off because he was talking about getting AJ Allmendinger in a full time cup ride this year and said, how did he say it? He said, I don't read the rumors or whatever he said. And I'm like, it's not a rumor.
No, he said he hadn't seen any rumors about it or something.
David
like that.
Smith's been writing about it, for God's sake. So
well, James, not everybody reads David Smith, all right?
Yeah, well, here's a sneaky here's an inside baseball on how James watches races. Okay. I usually turn the announcers off. I usually don't listen to it anymore.
Really?
I get too annoyed. So when I do hear them, maybe that's my problem. Is when I do hear them, I get ticked off.
Maybe.
So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Larry David again.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's
I think
it.
We've made that comparison on the podcast before, haven't we?
Many times. Yeah. Oh, yes, many times.
Making sure everybody knows that James is Larry David.
Real life Larry David. Yep. I'm starting to look like him, too, as I lose more hair.
That's funny. Yep. That's really funny. All right, so we are moved on to the round of eight now for the Cup Series. Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott. They're your four right now if we were to head to Phoenix today, but we're not going to. Still in the running, Joey Logano is 5 points out. Martin Truex Jr., 10 points out. Alex Bowman, 18 points out. And Kurt Busch is in eighth, 21 points out. We lost Kyle Busch, Austin Dillon, Clint Bowyer, and Eric Almirola are all out.
Bummer for Austin Dillon because he ran really well and was in a much better position until he had some mechanical problems.
Yep.
But still, I mean, that was a good showing for that team. They've got a nice 2022 or 2021 coming up. I think they're going to be much better next year. I'm keeping an eye on that team.
I think so, too. And that's definitely a team to watch moving into 2022 when we have a new car.
Yeah,
and
everybody's
on even footing.
I like what Richard Childress. I think Richard Childress has some serious momentum here.
Yeah, I agree.
I really like it.
I agree. He's peaking at the right time right now with the new car coming. So
yes, exactly.
I think it's about perfect. So
Kurt Busch would have made it on points regardless, with or without his win.
That's interesting.
The way it turned out. So Kyle Busch. I mean, well, and again, Kyle gambled on fuel, and that's part of that. But
I think Kurt's the sleeper right now for the final four.
Yeah, I could see Bowman. I think Bowman's more of a threat.
Yeah, I think so too. That's why I think Kurt's the sleeper. I think nobody expects Kurt to get in, but you know, he just won at Vegas and we're going to Kansas this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
no, absolutely. Yeah. With everything on the line too, you never know. But yeah, it's going to be really congested because Harvick and Hamlin are not going to make it.
Right,
those guys
exactly.
Let's
talk about that real quick, James. I was really in favor of this system once we made the adjustment to where you keep the points throughout the year to give somebody with some consistency an advantage. But I'm starting to question it a little bit. I feel like, you know, it would confuse things more, but I feel like your performance throughout the season should certainly get you maybe through the first round. But I think it's a little much to get you through all the rounds. I almost would like to see them reset after the first round, but keep the points they accumulated in the first round. So there's still a disparity. If you did well in the first round, you still have an advantage in the second round, but you're not carrying that advantage from the entire season into it. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think too, I like that, Eric, but I think also we have to remember each season is weighted differently.
Right.
Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin are both putting up monster numbers, and Harvick even more so.
Right,
than
but
Hamlin.
If you think about this, we've gone this direction before with Martin Truex, who did it, you know, the first season of this system. And I don't know. I feel like maybe we give out too many playoff points. I don't know.
I like the fact that the best guy all season long has a big cushion in skin, and he really is Goliath.
Even in the final four at the end, so.
Yeah, and really, Eric, Kevin Harvick, I mean, the way he's run, he deserves to have a 55-point cushion now.
Right, and I guess it doesn't matter because even if Harvick didn't have that cushion, he's won in each round, so he still would have gone on anyway.
Yeah, and two, like, there's still a chance Harvick doesn't make it. I mean, it is a slim chance, but I feel like it's, you know, like in other sports, you have some home field advantage. Kevin Harvick has earned his home court.
All right.
Throughout the playoffs, and Hamlin too. I mean, Denny Hamlin's playing with house money too.
I'll let you win the battle this time.
That's fine.
You can
That's
win
fine.
This one.
So if Harvick and Hamlin are our locks, then who are our other two? What do you got? We can do this really quick. I don't know if we have to spend too much time on it, but what do you think?
Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah, that's kind of what I have. I'll go a little bit different. I really think Brad's going to make it, but I'll say, cause I think Martin's going to be a problem. This round, Martin's going to make it.
Well, you know who else is good in this round though?
it's going to be Bowman.
Chase Elliott's got a runs good
yeah,
at.
He's going to win Kansas. Yeah.
Chase Elliott could win Martinsville. He's going to be strong at Martinsville.
I know, man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I'll say okay. So you said Keselowski and Truex.
Yeah, I said Keselowski and Truex.
Man, I really like Keselowski. You know how I feel about Brad. I'll mix it up. I'll say Truex and Bowman.
Okay.
Just to mix it up a little bit, but
nobody's going with Logano. Nobody's going with Chase.
Yeah, Joey just—I don't know. He's only got two wins on the year, so I don't know. Brad's probably going to win Martinsville and screw it all up or something.
Probably.
Yeah. Harvick and Hamlin are going to win the next two races. It's Kansas and Texas. So
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
one of these guys is going to have to win Martinsville.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Harvick can win every week. If Harvick's not your first pick every week, then I don't know what you're thinking, because
I know we do this every week when we do our picks.
Yeah, I get to pick first today, James. I'm gonna spoil it right now. I'm taking Harvick.
Yeah, well, I'm taking Hamlin, so we might as well just do
right. So
yeah, I know. What are you gonna do?
Whatever.
There's points on the line, man.
All right, let's talk some news. We move off from the Roval. We got some driver news this week, which was kind of cool. Matt DiBenedetto going to be in the Wood Brothers car for one more year. But just one more year, as Austin Cindric will get the seat in 2022. What do you think of this move, James?
Oh, you and I texted about it. Never seen anything like this one.
No.
We've seen drivers sign deals like Kurt Busch. Remember, he signed a deal 2 years in advance.
Yeah.
We've seen that before.
Clint Bowyer did it. Kane did it.
Yep, Casey Kane, Clint Bowyer. But I've never seen the, here's one more year for you, but by the way, it's your last year.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go somewhere else. But you and I and everybody that we like to talk to, we all think that this is a cushion, right? Just in case Penske loses Brad Keselowski, they've still got Matt D in the hopper.
Yeah, I think so.
Kind of what their plan is here, right?
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I know I said this year that I didn't think Brad was going to go anywhere when he was looking elsewhere. And I think seeds are going to get tied up for next year, and it's not going to be as easy, even though there's a lot of one-year contracts right now. It's not going to be as easy for him to go somewhere. Yeah. But I feel like Brad's going to be on the move. I think he tested the waters too much this year for not doing it.
Yeah, and I think it's just not the right year to leave.
No, this year is not the right year to do it.
Yeah, and next year might not be the right year either. But Brad, you know, let's say Brad re-ups for another one-year deal. I mean, I don't know. But he's definitely a high-priced driver. He comes with a championship. I like this move for Penske.
Yeah.
You have a really good driver. You got a really good young driver who's going to race some cup next year. And you've got you've got Matt D, who's shown some promise, made the playoffs. And who knows? I mean, maybe Matt does take the two, or maybe Penske says, you know what, Matt, we're out of room right now. We can put you in the Xfinity series, or maybe they start another cup team. I mean, there's lots of options here for Penske. Penske really gives themselves a lot of flexibility with a really solid driver lineup. I mean, you've got two champions. You've got a really young star in Ryan Blaney, and you've got the next young star in Cindric. And then you got a really solid piece in Matt DiBenedetto. That's a really strong driver lineup. That they're bringing to the table that can compete with pretty much any other driver lineup out there. I really think. I mean, that's really strong.
Yeah, I don't get this deal, honestly, James. I really just don't get it.
I hate it for Cindric, kinda, because he's ready.
Well,
but
I mean, I don't get it for Matt. I mean, I don't. Again, stability? we don't know what the plans are going forward, and we don't know what's been discussed behind closed doors. We don't know what Matt knows. We don't know what Penske knows about the stuff that's not signed on paper. Right. But without that, if none of that exists, this makes no sense. Why keep a guy for a final season when Cindric's ready to come to the Cup Series? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Something is weird with this deal.
Yeah, that's
not
I
only
think
that,
too.
But you didn't re-sign Matt by the deadline. You waited till after the deadline. I don't know, man. Something's weird.
Yeah, maybe it's a sponsorship thing, or maybe, you know, maybe Eric, with 2022 when the new car, maybe Penske is looking at adding a fourth team.
Maybe.
And that's what you do. You bring Matt DiBenedetto over, but why wouldn't you bring Cindric? You're right. It's weird. We all think it's weird.
Matt D hasn't proven himself in that car, and Cindric is ready to come to the Cup Series. That's why this makes no sense to me.
Right. I know.
Not only that, but we talked about last week, why not bring Cindric up, let him tear some equipment up this year when it doesn't matter, or next year when it doesn't matter, and have him ready to go and fit in with the team for 2022. I don't know.
And maybe they think when you know, Eric, maybe too, part of the thinking is in 2022, maybe we'll get practicing back with this new car.
Maybe.
And Cindric gets more seat time that way, because next year we're looking at one day weekends, like 28 out of 36 one day weekends. So
yeah, the only other thing I could see too is it'll be easier to start a second car next year, or a fourth car next year with extra cars that you're not going to use. So
exactly. Yeah. And you've got theoretically lower pricing points for these new cars as well.
Right.
So you can fire up that fourth seat. So, I mean, again, I just go back to this gives them a ton of flexibility, Eric.
Yeah.
But I do hate this a little bit for Cindric, but
I love it for Matt. I'm glad he gets another year to prove himself.
He gets a 1 year. And honestly, Eric, I think, you know, I've waffled on this a little bit, but the way this year was, I mean, give Matt one more shake at it. He's good. He's a good driver. He just hasn't had that breakthrough, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if Matt's ever going to be, you know, one of the top 10 guys, but.
No, probably not, but.
You never know.
No, but I mean,
we didn't think Jimmy Johnson was going to be a top 10 guy when he came to the Cup Series, and look what he did. So,
well, can Matt Benedetto do an Alex Bowman type thing? Matt Benedetto Alex Bowman, you know, I mean, he's a top eight guy right now.
Yeah,
I think that Matt could be in.
Is he really a top eight guy though?
Right now, I mean,
I know he's in the top eight points, but is he a top eight guy? Probably not. What's he got? He's got two wins, right?
Yeah, two wins total. Yeah.
I mean, I consider him on the same level as Matt right now. And I know
think
Matt
so. I think
wins.
That's a fair comparison. You know, they both had a lot of time and some really bad equipment. But
I mean, let's be honest. I know Bowman's in the top eight, but Kyle Busch outranks him by far.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I know. Well, yeah, for
Eric
sure.
Eric Jones outranks him by far. Hell, Clint Bowyer outranks Alex Bowman, even though he's on his way out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so he's not really a top eight right now.
Does he have potential?
Do I think that Alex Bowman is definitely better than we thought he was going to be when he was originally signed to the 88 car? Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Do I think he's a great fit for the 48? Am I surprised that Hendrick is putting him in the 48 and keeping him long term? No, not at all. I think he's proven himself in that ride.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what my point was is I think Matt Benedetto at some point, maybe he could make the round of eight.
Yeah.
I think that is
I agree.
That's probably the peak of Matt Benedetto, and I think we're seeing the peak of Alex Bowman. Maybe he goes a little farther.
He made the top 16 this year in a crappy year. I mean,
if he went, Eric, honestly, he could have won Talladega, and he could already be in the top eight right now.
Yep.
So
exactly,
it's right there.
Yep. Colleg Racing next year, 2022. Looking to move to the Cup Series. I don't think this is a big surprise, right? They've been building They've been building up in the Xfinity Series. The next logical step for them is to move up, right?
Great entry point for them, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes total sense.
The one that I question more than Colleg is Junior.
Oh.
What point – I know Junior said he has no intention to come in the Cup Series, but what point with this being cheaper to get in the Cup Series, at what point with all these new teams coming in does Junior decide to dip his toe into the Cup Series? He's got to do it eventually, don't you think?
Well, and that brings up another point too, Eric. What are we worried about the Xfinity Series
a little bit? I don't know.
Is Colleg going to move all of the resources to Cup?
I hope not.
Because that's a good Xfinity team.
I hope not. I don't think they've made any indication that that's what they're going to do.
I don't want this to be a H. Scott Turner thing.
Yeah.
You know, come up and it all fall apart. You know, I hate to see that.
I think it will with this new car. I think that's the advantage.
We're in uncharted territory with this thing.
Let's put it this way, James. These owners are very optimistic about this car in 2022. So if anything, we should be getting excited about the fact that these owners think that this is going to bring more parity to the series and make it more affordable for smaller teams.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah.
No, we were optimistic about the car tomorrow. We were optimistic about Gen 7. We've been optimistic a lot, and it's fallen flat. So we'll see.
Well, Eric, we need more high-end mid-tier teams in NASCAR. And Colleg Racing, I think they could come up and be – top 15-ish, you know, 15 to 20.
Yeah.
You know, their cars could place in that area, and we need more competition. So we need more teams like this to come up, and let's do it. I mean, let's bring them along. I like it.
Yep, I agree. We've hinted at the next two already, but we'll talk about them anyway. Clint Bowyer is retiring at the end of the season. He will move to the Fox Sports booth. We're expecting Chase Briscoe to be announced as the driver for the 14 at some point in probably the near future. James, I'll take this one first. I freaking love this. I think Clint Bowyer in the booth at Fox, this is we just swept the Waltrips out and brought in a better personality, you know?
Yeah.
We brought in 2020's Darrell Waltrip back when, you know, what Darrell Waltrip was in 2001.
Yeah.
Maybe better because Clint's more competitive than Waltrip was the last couple of years of his career.
And just like Dale Jr., you're bringing in a guy who's right off the track. Same thing they did with Jeff Gordon. They're bringing in the insights of guys coming right off that racing surface. And, you know, I think Kevin Harvick is going to probably do something similar here, too. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. You know, like Jimmy Johnson's going racing. He's leaving and he's going racing. Right. But we got a great personality in Clint Bowyer. And, he's going to do really good here. I've had a complicated fandom with Clint Bowyer because I was disappointed that he took over the 14 after Smoke retired.
Right.
I kind of wanted something flashier and bigger. But he did a really decent job driving that car, won a couple of races, made the playoffs. You couldn't ask for too much more out of him than what he gave you. So, and I think you were at one of his wins, weren't you? The Rain Short Michigan win,
yeah,
right?
I'm looking right now. Did he win after that?
I don't know if he ever won another race after that. I know he got a Martinsville win somewhere, but I think, maybe that Martinsville win was after that Michigan win.
Clint,
I can't remember.
Last, he won two races in 2018, and he...
Let me see. Looking at it right now.
Where is finish?
Clint Bowyer, that was his last win, Michigan.
Nice, so there you go. I was there for Clint Boyer's last win. I was in victory lane with Clint Bowyer for his last win.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's a great personality, Eric. I think
last win so far. He's still got four chances.
He's got a couple more to go. Yeah, no, for sure. And Martinsville's coming up. So.
I'll tell you what, man, that was the most fun I've had, you know, with a winner. And that was a rain shortened race. It was a bummer that it was a rain shortened race, and it still was awesome. Clint was so much fun in the media center after the race. Clint's fun when he's had a bad day.
Eric, there you go, right there. That's why Fox is bringing him in.
Yep.
He's done a great job so far, and he's going to bring the fun.
Yeah, Fox was very, very professional this year.
Jeff likes him.
Yeah, so it was very professional this year, maybe a lot more professional than we've seen Fox in the past. This will goofy it up a little bit, but we got to see this. We got a preview of this already during the iRacing season, and this was great. This was gold. Clint and Jeff, the fact that they respect each other now but have had the history that they've had makes it even better because they like to rib each other, and it's good stuff. They've got that – I mean – nothing better than that shot of Bowyer running through Phoenix.
Trying to fight. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look up that fight in Phoenix where Gordon wrecked him on purpose.
Yeah.
And Clint went running through the pits. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Fox is getting a good one, and good on them to sign the deal and get him in the booth. Bummer for Clint. Cause I know this isn't fully his decision, but, it kind of is, but isn't.
Well, you could tell even Tony Stewart when he sent out some stuff on social media, and he said Clint was the right driver at the right time. And I read that as, okay, time's up.
Yeah.
You know, we've got this guy coming,
so,
and he's really talented, and we just, you know, and he's comes at a lower price tag, honestly.
I have a question for you. If you were not real fond of Clint Bowyer taking over Tony Stewart's ride, what do you think about Chase Briscoe taking it over?
I like the young blood, that, and it's been so long now that it's hard for me to associate.
You don't have that
14
connection anymore.
Yeah. I mean, right out of when Tony was right out of the car, I mean, that was a hard time cause he was switching to Ford, and I wasn't happy about that either.
Yeah. Is it weird that I still consider Tony the 20 Home Depot car?
Oh, I do at times too. Yeah.
Well, no, you not. Do of course, cause you've been racing that NASCAR Thunder game and he's still in the 20.
Yeah. He's still in the 20 to me. No, I'm looking around my room and I have, I have all this memorabilia in here, and I've got a lot of 14s, but there's a lot of 20s in here. Yeah. Well, it's definitely like, a two career gap for him.
It's like Ernie Irvin. I see Ernie Irvin still in the four car. If I think Ernie Irvin, I think the four Kodak.
Yeah.
Car.
I always think the 28, and he was barely in that car, honestly. And the 36, I mean, he was barely in that car too, but the 28.
Oh, I didn't even count that part of his career. Cause it was
hard because Davey was the 28. You
right.
Know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and then, again, we already hinted at it. Alex Bowman was announced to be the driver of the 48 in 2021, full sponsorship from Ally. That leaves the 88 open, and Hendrick was asked about it this weekend and said, we'll be announcing it pretty soon. So the 88 is going to remain. Whether it's going to be the 88 or not is the question.
Or the 57 or the 5 or the 25.
I would not be a bit surprised, because Hendrick has run the 57 in the Xfinity Series before, because didn't Kyle Busch run the 57 for Hendrick before?
Yeah, Kyle Busch did. I think Vickers ran that for a little bit too. Yeah, there was a lot. And the 57.
There is a certain sprint car driver that currently fields that number.
Yeah, and I think you need an identity change
right.
if you're gonna bring that sprint car driver to the
yeah.
car. I don't know if the 88 is the right number for that guy.
Would we be anything but shocked if somebody else was announced for that car than Kyle Larson?
I would be at this.
I mean, let's say Hendrick comes out tomorrow and says Eric Jones, driver of the 88 for 2021.
I would be shocked. Yes,
I would be
because
too.
It's yeah, Larson's been. I mean, the trail's there. He's been, you know, he's already started making his comeback with his letter that he published. He's been seen with the Chevy executives
yep.
and doing things in the community again. He's coming to a car where he doesn't need to bring sponsorship. It's a car that's basically patched together with other, you know, with Chevrolet as part of it. So
yep.
if Chevy's willing to start backing him again, because Chevy wants to win races.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's going to lose salary, but he's going to fall up here. He's
right.
He's going to fall into, you know, moving up to the Hendrick seat.
Well, okay.
I would be shocked, Eric. Honestly, if it was Eric Jones, I know I thought for a long time Eric Jones would be a great fit in that 48 car.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Rick Hendrick has got a deal here. If he's going to get Kyle Larson on the cheap, come yeah. on. It makes sense.
Yeah, and who better for Ally than Alex Bowman? I mean, Alex Bowman's the perfect driver to stick in that car. Ally's going to love him. His personality is, you know, pretty similar to Jimmy Johnson's. They're going to be good partners there. So the next question I have is, where does Kyle Larson fall on the Hendrick scale? Is he automatically become number one, or is Chase still number one?
Well, he's been out of the seat for a while,
right?
So I think he's gonna be the number two.
But he's the veteran, man.
Yeah, he's gonna be the number two for at least a little while. But if he comes out there and that team starts making waves, he'll be the yeah. number one pretty fast.
So where does Eric Jones end up? There's a lot of rides that have been sealed up now. There's not much left open.
Yeah, it's gonna be a JTG Daugherty type thing. I think that's where we're leaning.
What about the 43?
Possibly. There's not a lot of sponsorship there.
I really hope not, because excuse me. I think JTG is a better fit for him, maybe.
Whatever Eric does, he needs to bet on himself and do a 1-year deal.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want him to sign long term with you. People know how we feel about Eric, and I just think the musical chairs got taken up on him.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Well,
but,
I mean,
yeah.
He has not. We've talked about it. He hasn't proven himself
before,
in
yep.
good equipment.
Yep. He's had more opportunities than most. So he had a longer leash than Daniel Suarez. So he, you know, be danged. But
right.
You know, maybe he moves to Hamlin Jordan. Maybe that's a two-car team.
Yeah, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
I think it's JTG. But Petty's right there. I think you're right. I think it's one of those two rides. I really do think Petty's. Probably trying to figure something out because yeah. they're going to need a driver.
Yeah, they are.
And hopefully it's not like, I've heard Haley Deegan.
Yeah. Geez.
I know. that seems like a long reach, and she's definitely not ready, and that's not going to happen, but.
And it sounds like it's not going to be Corey LaJoie, because Corey LaJoie's hinted at Xfinity.
Yeah. Corey. There's a lot of other things going on with Corey yeah. in that seat too. So
who knows?
Yep.
James, I'll let you take the next one, 'cause I know you're excited about it.
I am just so happy. NASCAR put its Barstool partnership on hold. Thank God.
I'm disappointed in this move, James.
Why are you disappointed, Eric?
Because they shouldn't have put it on hold. They should have just sent them walking and said, we're done.
Know. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Just cut it off. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I just think it's on hold as in we're going to get to the end of this agreement year and then it's not going to be renewed.
Should I play the audio clip of Portnoy or whatever you say his name whining about it?
Do you have that clip?
No, I'm not going to play that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to play that jackass on our show.
Thank God. No, everybody who's listening to this podcast knows from day one, I have been screaming about how I do not like this. I do not like this. And then it ended the way I think it was going always to end. It's going to be messy.
Yeah. There's two people that will not appear on our show. One is David Portnoy. The other one is Jim Utter. There it is, James.
Oh, there it is. You snuck it in there.
I've been waiting to sneak it in there somewhere. That's all I'm going to say.
You snuck it in there. I was
it's
waiting
there.
For it.
It's in there.
Yeah. you know, real one last point on this Barstool, on this Barstool deal. I know NASCAR was trying to expand their fan base, but when they say that social change is part of the reason that the partnership's on hold, that's all you need to know.
Exactly.
All you need to know.
And it was the right move. It's just way too late.
I mean, yeah, they should have done it. Yeah. I mean, they should never partner with them. I don't know why they were. I don't know.
No, they shouldn't have. And this should have been over with after Talladega, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Portnoy did his thing. I know. It's a mess. We don't need to get all into it and give them any more pub than they already get. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Portnoy is doing a lot of whining. But
that's I mean,
fine.
That's what he does best. That's all he does.
Yeah, he's making money everywhere else. He doesn't need NASCAR's money.
Yeah.
Go be a jackass somewhere else.
Exactly. With that, that's the news, James. I don't think there's anything else.
Yeah, and it'll all break again tomorrow like it did last week.
We're recording early this week. We're recording on Tuesday, and we're actually recording early on Tuesday, so early for us anyway, which is why the dog keeps barking in the background, I realize, because it's daylight, and she can see people out in the courtyard.
Yeah.
If it was dark, she wouldn't be barking. She's sitting on her perch in the back of our couch, staring out the window. There's one slat that is broken off of the vertical blinds that she can see out. So whenever she sees a leaf or a bird, she barks at it.
Yeah, you may not have noticed. I had to take my headset off for like a second to let my dog back out of the room because he barged in and couldn't get out, and I was afraid he was going to bark. So
I didn't notice that. I just know I've worn the mute button out tonight myself every time she barks. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm familiar with how it goes.
So we go to Kansas Speedway this weekend. Coming off of the Roval. James, you got yourself a win on the picks.
I did, but I didn't maximize.
No, you didn't. You got 2 points with Chase Elliott, but I picked Ryan Blaney over Jimmy Johnson, and that gives me a point there. So James only gains 1 point on me. He picked Chase Elliott for the win. I picked Kevin Harvick, who finished 11th. Again, Ryan Blaney over Jimmy Johnson. So I'm up 42-33 after 32 races. And James pretty much has to sweep the rest of the playoffs to get me, but
yeah, I gotta go. I gotta get like 3 points each week to make it interesting. I don't know if that's gonna be possible.
Yeah,
well, we already made our picks.
Yeah, we already made our picks. So I'll take Kevin Harvick. James is gonna take Denny Hamlin.
Points on the line. Sorry, guys, we're going chalk. Can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves.
So we get to pick a non-playoff driver. You get the first pick on non-playoff, James. Who are you going with?
Yeah, so there's a couple of guys that you could really look at here. He's a non-playoff driver. I like what he's done on this track the last couple of times we've been there. Eric Jones.
It's a good one.
Non-playoff driver. His average finish over the last three races, 5.
Nice. I am going to give you an opportunity here. Hold on. Maybe not.
No, there's some good drivers here that are available.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit off. I was going to take the best average finish here, which is one that's only run once, and that's Cole Custer. But I'm not going to go that direction. I'm going to go close to that, though, and I'm going to pick somebody else who's high up in the list. Hasn't done really well lately, but I wouldn't mind seeing him turn the season around at the end of the year here. And his teammate has had good momentum, and I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. Pick. Yep, that's good.
So
that's really good. Just so everybody can get a little bit of a glimpse here, Eric did go with Harvick first, and Harvick does not have a win over the last three races. He has led 113 laps, though. But Denny Hamlin has won 2 of the last 3 races, led 210 laps. So I like my odds here to maybe
odds are good.
Maybe make a little bit of a run here. But
neither of us has taken Martin Truex Jr., who has historically been really good on mile and a half tracks.
Yeah, Bowman's up there. Kurt Busch has been really good here.
Kevin Harvick does have 3 wins here, as does Jimmy Johnson. Brad Keselowski and Martin Truex Jr. both have 2. Denny Hamlin has 3. Matt Kenseth has 2.
Yeah.
Matt Kenseth buried it in the barriers this weekend, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, yeah. Limping to the end of this to the end of the season here.
Yep.
But that's okay. He came in and did his job.
Joey Logano also has 2 wins here, but he also has a terrible average finish. Well, I guess it's 18.2. It's not that terrible.
Yeah, he has the famous win here where he and Matt got together.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It wasn't his fault, by the way. He got a lot of crap for that. That was not his fault.
Yeah, whatever. I'm
gonna dump Kenseth too.
Whatever.
I thought you liked Joey.
Yeah, I do. I like Joey, but Joey drives like a freaking knucklehead, which is fine. I'm good with that.
He's been driving like a knucklehead.
Totally good with that. Somebody posted a picture. It was a four pictures on Twitter of Joey with his laugh. And like his, you know, you can see Joey's laugh right now. You can see the face that he makes. And somebody else commented that's the face that he makes every time he dumps somebody or blocks somebody. And I said, God, I hope it is. I hope it is. I hope he gets a kick out of it.
We've often talked about one of my best takes is that Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, those guys all suffer the same disease, right?
Yeah.
It's the look on their face.
Yep.
And that one, I saw you tweeted that and it made me laugh.
No, I love Joey Logano. I absolutely love him. I don't want him to change. I want controversial people like Joey Logano in the sport. That being said, every time he runs into somebody, I'm going to say, what an idiot.
I don't know.
You know, it's the same thing I say every time Kyle says something stupid in a post-race interview. I still love it.
It's because Joey's so good, you expect more.
Yeah, I don't expect more. I love it. Dude, Dale Earnhardt drove like an idiot, and he's the most well-respected driver in the Cup Series in history.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tony Stewart was my favorite driver of all time, and he screamed about everybody else blocking, but he was one of the best blockers
in the game. Tony was the pot calling the kettle black for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Except that...
Just looking at him upside down at Talladega in 2012. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that was an epic block. That was a Joey Logano-esque block there.
Yeah, that was the biggest block ever thrown in NASCAR, and it didn't work.
Well, James, we're stretching it out, but I want to get to this fantasy league because I got a win this week.
Got the W, son.
Got the win.
Very well done. Yeah, Eric, it's nipped me, actually. We finished 1-2, and I don't remember the last time that's happened. I don't know. The stars were aligned. So Eric wins.
Todd still finished fourth, and he forgot to pick his drivers.
Todd forgot to pick his drivers, finished fourth, and Justin 713, third place.
You know why that is, though, is because Todd had his Talladega drivers in there. And Talladega, road course and super speedway drivers are very similar, you'll notice.
They figure it out, don't they?
Yeah. You can almost pick the same group of people for both sets of races and have a good shot.
Yeah. Well,
there's better picks each way, but...
Yeah, and, you know, if you've got good drivers, you've got good drivers. But you think of this, Eric. Todd burned some playoff playoff drivers here, so it's something to consider.
That is true. I want to, before we get into where we're at, I want to warn you guys now. I put Kevin Harvick on the bench this week, and I have four starts left for Kevin Harvick, and I have three starts left for Denny Hamlin. So those guys are starting every week going forward, and I've got some good playoff drivers, some good high-end drivers that I've not got a lot of starts with. I'm gonna come for you guys the last four races here.
Well, and what makes it interesting, so we have our playoff standings. So
yeah, we don't care about the regular season standings because we're so bad at them. But
yeah,
we're
trying to win the playoffs.
Well, James is doing okay in the regular season, but we only care about the playoffs. So
well, yeah, because we're all in the hunt. So I'm in the lead. Freight Train is right there, and Eric, you're third. You moved up to third, so we have a battle here for the playoffs. and then overall standings, it's still Freight Train, Ranger, and then myself. We have a tie for fourth, and Eric, you are sixth. So keep coming.
Jay Went, what happened to you, man? You were first at Talladega, and then Charlotte, you didn't pick. No points in Charlotte. Come on,
Jay Went must have ran out of drivers.
Come on.
That's all right. That's all right. But then, Baron Speedway is nipping at your heels in the overall standings. He's just 100 behind you, so Baron has a chance to jump you.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your fantasy update, bud.
All right. You got any shout outs this week, James?
I mentioned my brother-in-law, Mike. He's been listening to the podcast and trying to get into NASCAR. So I wanted to shout him out for following along. And he's been sending me lots of questions, which I appreciate. You know, any new fans to the sport, it's always a good thing. So we want to encourage that as much as possible. Hopefully, you know, maybe there's some people who stumbled upon this podcast and are becoming fans because of that. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So just wanted to shout him out and hopefully he's enjoying what he's seeing.
Yep. I was going to shout out my favorite NASCAR media member that is out there, but I already shouted him out earlier in the podcast, so I don't want to utter his name more than once in this one. So
well, that is up there with anything that oh my god, that is that's a great pun, man.
Should I reach out to Aaron Bearden on that one? That one was pretty
good.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that's exactly what I'm going with. That is as good as any pun he has ever done.
Yep. There you go. Yep. All right, James, where can they find you on social media if they want to track you down during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. Podcasts can be found on there. Links to the show notes, links to articles we've discussed, all that stuff, past photos from old races, past coverage. You can check it all out there at thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And if you want to become a part of the show and help us out, help us get to the track when we're allowed to go to the track again, you can become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. It is the round of eight. Four races left to go in the 2020 season. We head to Kansas Speedway this weekend. See who gets it done. See who gets the first win in the final, well, second to last round of the playoffs. And we'll be back next week to discuss it all. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.